Well, almost everyone, it seems, is looking to cut costs at the moment. A lot of the speech last night was about the economy, and they're looking to pull in their horns in this economic downturn. But some ways of achieving lower costs are, to put it mildly, unconventional. Some governors, like Maryland's Martin O'Malley and New Mexico's Bill Richardson, are considering abolishing the death penalty as a cost-cutting measure.
That's a new one.
We're joined right now by Ian Urbina, who's written about this issue for the New York Times. He's in Washington, D.C. So good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
So how did this whole idea come about?
Well, I mean, the idea of abolishing the death penalty has been sort of around for a while, and bills aimed at that goal have been proposed in state legislatures year after year. So it's not new in essence. I think what's new is the emphasis of the cost of it. State lawmakers are making a bigger deal of that this year, it seems, and are getting some more traction with that argument, and so several states seem like they may actually pass these bills finally.
Now, it's one thing that Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley is proposing this. He's long been against the death penalty. But now some governors who support the death penalty, like Bill Richardson in New Mexico, are considering this as a way to save money, too. How compelling is the argument for those death penalty proponents?
I think when you say how compelling is it for them, do you mean in terms of the cost-cutting argument? Are they convinced by it? Or?
Right. How you know, is the effort to save money going to, you know, override their basic principles?
I don't know, frankly. I mean, I don't see the death penalty proponents being swayed very much from their position. I think in the case of Bill Richardson, he has shifted gradually over the last several years for several reasons, of which cost is just one of them. I think that some of the fiscal conservatives who weren't hardcore proponents of the death penalty, maybe were a bit on the fence of it, may shift. And in truth, that's all that you need. These bills in the state legislatures have been so close in the past that if you could just sway a couple of those fence sitters, then you might actually have these become law. But in terms of those who are on either end of the spectrum, those folks don't tend to move much.
Now, are we talking about completely abolishing the death penalty in these states, or are we just talking about some sort of temporary suspension, sort of like, you know, a temporary tax or a temporary suspension of some other sort of action?
You know, I can't speak for all the bills, but most of the bills we looked at were abolishing the death penalty.
Ian, I'm wondering if, the death penalty gets enormous headlines in the talk of criminal justice, and there are probably a lot of people in the state legislatures that you looked at who are there because they campaigned on tough-on-crime sorts of platforms. I'm wondering if this debate on cost-cutting and finding economies in the treatment of death penalty inmates will lead to a broader critique financially of the very expensive system of corrections in all the states, that the prison system would get a review more generally.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good intuitive point. And I think you're exactly right. And I think it's already heading that direction. I mean, California is the place to watch in that regard, because it has such an acute overcrowding problem, and it has ended up in the issue has ended up in the courts, that, you know, for a while they were considering releasing huge numbers of nonviolent offenders as a way to ease the overcrowding and deal with certain judges' orders. And other states that aren't under court order are also considering the same sort of cost-cutting measures. While they may not be, you know, for example, in Virginia, they may not be considering abolishing the death penalty. Excuse me, the death penalty. They are considering setting aside a category of nonviolent offenders who, if they go through certain drug treatment programs and they behave well, will be allowed to be released early. And what that will enable is for the state to close and close certain prisons and consolidate inmates and thus cut costs.
Now, you know, I guess that's one of the things that people who aren't in-depth, studying the issue in-depth like you are, might be surprised that it's more costly to put someone to death than to, you know, put them in the into jail for the rest of their lives. Why is that the case?
Two reasons. One, the death penalty brings so much more litigation and so many more appeals, and that means costly lawyers' fees and court time costs and high-priced, you know, DNA experts and whatnot. The other reason is someone just sitting on death row, even if you take the appeals out, sitting in a death row cell as opposed to a regular cell costs on average three times more because death row involves so many more guards per inmate. You know, the quotient is much higher. So for both of those reasons, it adds up pretty quickly.
Thanks very much for joining us, Ian Urbina.
Thank you.
Ian Urbina has written about this issue for the New York Times. He joined us from Washington, D.C.
It's interesting, Jerome, that The Economy would encourage a debate on prison reform at many levels, from the death penalty all the way down.
It's fascinating to see that we're talking about things I never would have thought we'd be talking about.
Yeah, and we were talking about that court order in California, actually, as recently as last week. It's a critical situation there.
It is.
Stuff.